Comments made on the Serotalk Podcast Network are those of the individuals and do not represent Serotalk Corporation, its staff, management, board of directors, or third-party resellers.
Hi, this is Bill, and welcome to this week's episode of Real World Fitness. Hope everybody out there is having a great week. This week's topic, CrossFit. And for any of you out there who've been living under a rock for the past few years and don't know what CrossFit is, it's an extraordinarily popular and sometimes controversial fitness program that has taken over the country in the past few years. Not like any other group fitness classes seen before. CrossFit incorporates a variety of intense exercise modalities, including Olympic-style weightlifting, kettlebells, sprinting, jumping, calisthenics, etc. It's very aggressive, and it has a tremendous following. And amongst its followers is our fearless leader, Mike Calvo, the leader of things here at Serotalk. And Mike started into CrossFit around the first of the year, January of 2015. And apparently he is so taken with it and so thrilled with his results and how it's improved his life and his fitness level that he wanted to share that with you guys. So we're going to have Mike on in just a little bit, and we're going to talk about his experiences with CrossFit. It's an excellent interview. Before we get to that, I want to talk about the book I'm reading this week. It's a book called Can You Go? Written by Dan John. Now, for any of you that have been following me for any length of time, you know that Dan John is one of my personal mentors slash personal heroes. And I've had him on as a guest a few times in the past. Well, he has a new book out called Can You Go? And it just happens to be available on Audible. That's audiblepodcast.com/Serotalk. If you go there and sign up for a free 1 month trial, you can pick up a copy of Dan's new book totally for free. It's an excellent book, like everything Dan has written in the past. Clear, concise, right to the point, and written in a way that anyone can understand what he's talking about. We'll have Dan on in the near future to talk about the new book and let y'all know when that's confirmed. He's got an incredibly busy travel schedule, so finding time for him and I to sit down and do an interview is not the easiest thing. So that's Dan John's new book, Can You Go?, available at audiblepodcast.com/Serotalk. Additionally, his most recent other title, Fat Loss Happens on Monday, which he co-authored with Josh Hillis, can also be found there. Both books, I like them very much. I read the digital versions. I received review copies from Larry Draper, my dear friend who is the publisher. And the digital copies are nice, but hearing Dan read his own writing, just like any other author, I think, just makes it that much more enjoyable. He has a great personality. He has a very pleasant reading voice that keeps you focused on what's going on. Let's see, what else have we got coming up in the near future? Next week, we're going to have an interview with former world wrestling champion Bob Backlund. It's going to be a little different from interviews you might have seen in the past with other star athletes. We're not going to really talk a lot about all the stuff everyone else talks about, the big highlights of his career. We're going to talk about his training, how he got into amateur wrestling, how he got into pro wrestling, and his personal fitness regime, how he trained when he was a young teenager and how he trains today at 66. So we will have that interview with Bob next week. Very likely we'll have the Dan John interview the following week. And I'm working on an interview with two of my favorite guests, Clarence Bass, who is an absolute phenomenon. He is a former Mr. America. And at age 77, he is probably the most physically fit, muscular, healthy individual walking the planet. And we're going to have him in conjunction with Brooks Kubik, who we've had on before, talking about nutrition. And we're going to be talking about longevity, nutrition, staying strong and healthy as you age. And I think these are two ideal authorities on the subject, one in his late 50s, one in his mid 70s, both focusing on the same goal, staying healthy and strong throughout your life, however long it may be. And now, let's get to Mike Calvo and CrossFit. This week, we're going to talk about one of the most popular and somewhat controversial fitness programs out there. There's always different trends, and for the last few years, there's been a thing called CrossFit that has just totally taken over the country. My guest today is Mike Calvo, who is fairly new to CrossFit and has got lots of enthusiasm and wants to talk about his experiences, and we're going to talk about CrossFit, good, bad, and everything in between. Thanks for taking the time to be with us today, Mike.
Hey, Bill. Thanks a lot for having me. Great podcast. I've enjoyed it. The episodes I've had the opportunity to hear, it is now a regular part of my listening on my podcatcher, and I love it. Thanks for providing what you do.
I really appreciate that. I kind of bit off a little more than I really expected to by committing to doing it on a weekly basis, but I've gotten such positive response from so many people that I'm really having a lot of fun with it and really glad the response has been so good and really appreciate having the opportunity that SPN has given me to do it. Now, let's talk about your background as far as exercise and fitness goes. I know you're about my age in your early 50s, and you didn't go from doing nothing to jumping into CrossFit. So let's do your background a little bit and how you found CrossFit and what you were doing prior.
Actually, I'm 47 and almost 50. I'm much closer to 50, which in some people's eyes might make me a little wiser. I know it doesn't. It's kept me away from the stupidity of my youth in some cases. But it started, Bill, when I was 40. I found myself in a place where I was at. I'm 5'8". I was 225 pounds, 32% body fat. So I was over. I was obese.
You were on the voluptuous side.
Yeah. Yes. And the doctor started giving me pills, high blood pressure, cholesterol. And this is the truth. Now, this is hilarious, but it's true. These pills started to affect me in ways that I did not appreciate, including things that guys shouldn't be experiencing at that age, if you know what I mean.
Well, that's why they sell you another little pill.
That's exactly what happened. I went to the doctor and I said, hey, man, have you read? Goes, oh, yeah, that's very common. Yeah, we'll give you this little blue pill. And I'm like, no, I'll take my butt over to the gym and I'll go back to lifting weights. And that's exactly what I did and started working out, started lifting weights. And I had been lifting weights when I was younger in high school and stuff like that. Never competition like yourself or others, but just did weights and enjoyed it. Started working out with a friend of mine and actually dropped. Today, I'm at 172 pounds and I'm 47. So it's taken a while. It's not, folks, there's one piece of advice I can tell everybody is it didn't take you a month to put it on. So stop thinking it's going to take you a month to take it off. I mean, that is the stupidest lie that the diet industry has sold to us. There is no such thing as a diet. Just change your eating habits and eat right. So, which I had to learn to do and to move. I mean, my partner used to tell me all the time, he said, Mikey, if you get in the gym, if you just walk in the door, you've done more than most people. And if you do that every day and you sweat a little and you move a little, you're going to start to see results. And it was absolutely true in my case, and today I'm at 14.5% body fat, which is awesome compared to where I used to be.
Yeah. That's excellent for anybody.
Yeah. And I got bored, for me at least. And off mic, we talked about that, I found weightlifting boring and you were like, yeah, well, that's not everybody. And I agree with you. It's, I know people who are like totally into it. And if there's one thing I miss about it is the definition, when you do CrossFit, you get ripped, I guess, but you don't get as defined. You're not isolating as much. So you don't get like the killer triceps and the, what I'm saying, that you get when you're lifting.
Well, let me just really quickly address that. There are two distinctive types of strength training. And I would still classify CrossFit as strength training because you're using weights and you're doing pull-ups and things that are definitely geared towards strength. Yes, endurance as well. But the movements that you do are about the movement as opposed to about the muscle. When you're doing bodybuilding type weight training, you're doing bench presses for your chest and curls for your biceps. When you're doing CrossFit or kettlebell training, you're doing swings, you're doing snatches, you're doing movements that involve your entire body. So that isolation factor is not there. It's a totally different approach. They both are great. They both have their benefit, but it just depends on your goal again.
Absolutely. And I've learned, and I'm learning actually, I'm breaking, you know, when I was doing legs, for example, I mean, I could squat 300 pounds, 350, 325, 400 pounds when I was at the gym. Here, I'm lucky if I can do back squats of, you know, 180 or 170 or whatever. And, I always get confused with all these names. You've got all the different types of lifts, but
well, overhead, you're either doing a press or a jerk or a push press or a snatch. Yeah.
Well, any of those. I'm doing 70 or 80 pounds, which is nothing compared to what I used to do before at the gym lifting weights. And I always wondered, why is that? And I think that you just kind of explained it to me. It's not an isolation thing, it's not a focus thing as much on that muscle group as it is. You know, these guys are all about the way you're doing it. You know, you've got it. It's like dancing almost. I mean, you got to do it just right, you know.
That's a big part of it. But also, CrossFit workouts, at least the ones I've observed, were nonstop. You're going from this to this to this to this. When you're doing that heavy strength training and you're doing those heavy squats, you might do a set of squats, take 3 to 5 minutes rest. Mm-hmm. And that's what you're supposed to do when you're training for strength. You have to allow the muscles time to recover so you can put a max effort into that next heavy set. But that's not what you're doing in this kind of a, it's basically a circuit training. You're going from squats to box jumps to deadlifts to push-ups to pull-ups without really taking any rest. And you're not going to be as strong.
Mm. No, great case in point. Yesterday's WOD, our workout of the day yesterday was... it was insane. It was probably one of the most challenging workouts I've done in the, at the time of this recording, it is April of 2015. I've been doing this since January. So yesterday's WOD was, it was for time. It was, you give you a 15 minute maximum, and then you do all of the following and you time it. And this is after a very rigorous warm-up, you know, which consists of handstand holds and things like that. But it was 75 wall balls, which is, you know, throwing a wall ball against the wall, 65 butterfly sit-ups, 55 push-ups, 45 pull-ups, and 35 burpees with a 15-minute cap. That was crazy. I mean, it was just insane. And to do that, to put your body through that for 15 minutes, and I go to CrossFit 6 days a week because your body, at least my body, starts to crave it. I feel like I'm missing something because of, I think it's because of the adrenaline. See, I don't know. I don't know all the mechanics of this stuff.
Definitely going to get an endorphin rush, an adrenaline rush from it. There's no question about that. And the real positive thing there is you're done in 15, 20 minutes. People have it in their head they need to spend hours in the gym, and they, you know, I don't work out because I don't have hours a day to spend in a gym. First of all, even doing conventional strength training, you don't need hours. But when you're doing a suicide workout like that, 15 minutes is all your body can take. I mean, to do more than that, you're going to die or wish you're dead, dude, one or the other.
Dude, I'm 47. I'm in there working with these 20-somethings, and they're like, come on, come on. I'm like, you're lucky my 47-year-old behind is in here. And it's kind of, and this is, yeah, when I go in, I mean, we do a lot of stretches when we get in, and we do, you know, different types of things. You know, holds and things to build core strength, I guess. And then we do a skill, you know, we practice a skill. Yesterday was sumo deadlifts and overhead push presses or something. you know, and I'm still getting used to all the terminology, but it has been a real blast. I was bored, and and you're absolutely right, by the way, Bill. I mean, you know, for the longest time, we'd go into the gym 4 days a week for about 45 minutes, 30 to 45 minutes, and that's it. And I dropped a majority of my weight. I came into CrossFit weighing 178, 177, something like that. So, I mean, I've dropped, and I'm fluctuating between 172 and 175, 176, you know, depending on what I've eaten, where I'm at, whatever.
Sure. Let me ask you something. You were saying you practice a skill, and I'm going to kind of play devil's advocate on this one, because let me just real short give you my experience with CrossFit is limited to observing several classes. When I first started training with kettlebells, I hired a kettlebell instructor to teach me, and she worked out of a CrossFit facility. And a lot of times we were working together when there was a class going on, or there was a class immediately before or after. So I got to observe. Mm-hmm. And I did not see skill. I saw just one day, for example, they were doing deadlifts, and everyone was just bouncing the bars off the floor. And I commented, I said, they're doing deadlifts, right? Yeah. Well, the form has got to be. She said, well, don't worry. It's they're bumper plates, and it's a rubberized floor. I said, I don't care about the weights and the floor. I'm concerned about these people's backs. So my concern in a lot of cases in those classes I observed, and then another CrossFit facility I went into just to inquire, to observe, to play prospective client and observe things, I just didn't see the detail. If you have coaches that are working with you and are actually really working with you on form, you said practicing a skill. Were you working for repetitions for time, or were you actually trying to perfect those sumo deadlifts and push presses?
No, skill. It's all about, it's my coaches, at least at the box I attend, Damien and JJ and Jay, they are amazing when it comes to, if you're not doing the skill right, they'll give you a PVC pipe and they'll say, do it this way. They'll give you a 15 pound bar, so you have a little bit of weight. But they're not going to allow you to basically play with the big boy toys until you get the skill, until you get the form right, because you're absolutely right. It's going to knock your back out. I mean, you've got some of these guys that are, you know, deadlifting crazy amounts of weight. The dropping of the weights, it took me a long time to get used to the dropping of the weight, because of course in weightlifting, we don't do that. You know, what the hell is that? You know, especially at some of these gyms where they kick you out for even clinking the weights. But the reason that I've learned, at least for me, I'll still, when I do a deadlift, I touch it to the ground and then I'll lift it back up again. I'll touch it to the ground. When I'm at the end of my set and I do my last lift, just because I'm a cheater and I'll just say, what the hell? I just drop it from my last lift or whatever.
But on the way down, you let go.
Yes.
Yeah, no, that, yes. I have no problem with. I've done more than my share of sets where I worked to my limit and just my grip said, that's enough. But yes. What I was observing is they were doing, all right, we're going to do 10 reps of the deadlift. And I heard bang, bang, bang. They were bouncing the weights off the floor. And it actually hurt my back just to listen to that. So you are truly, truly blessed.
Yes.
You are truly blessed to have coaches that really, A, know what they're doing, and B, care about what they're doing. Because there are a lot of coaches, and in the two CrossFit facilities that I walked into, both of those instances, and they were, I think, three different people, maybe four different people I heard conducting classes, they were just going, all right, bang them out, come on, keep going.
No.
And not once did I hear anyone say, you know, hey, Joe, tighten up your back, yeah. You know, head back.
Oh, no.
Shoulders always. Back, whatever.
In fact, it's to the point where I'm, you know, one of the guys, and I'm dating myself here. One of the guys, the main trainer at the box, his name is Damien. So I'm always telling him, I'm like, they named you Damien appropriately because there was a movie, of course.
There you go, the Omen.
Son of Satan. Yeah, the Omen, Damien. I'm like, dude, and he's 20-something. He's an amazing young man. He is the most patient, just wonderful guy that when I went in, the box is four blocks from my house. And the way I got into this is I went down to Miami. I saw how people in Miami, which is where I'm originally from, love CrossFit. And I wanted to get in on it. And I started looking for blind CrossFit people. And there is a guy out of Louisiana who had a trainer named Amber, who we're going to be working with Amber in the future. And she brought this guy to competition. And I forget his name right now. I'm sorry. But she encouraged me to do it. And I went down, talked to Damien, and I said, you know, bro, I really want to do this. What do you think? And he said, let's try it. And he said, we're both going to learn. I said, well, I'm not in the least way politically correct. There's no such thing as a stupid question. There's nothing I'm not going to answer. There's nothing you're going to say wrong. So let's do this. And Damien has been, he's had me out there flipping tires. He's taught me to run just open art. You know, he took a little rubber band, a workout band, put it around my waist.
Like a bungee cord kind of thing?
Yeah. And ran behind me, you know, and just, you know, so I can run, you know, so I can do the runs. And I'm doing relays and, you know, again, I do the tire flips and all of this stuff. And people, we need to do exercise. It's not only an American problem, but it is a huge problem in our community. And obesity, there's no excuse for it. There's so many things that you can do in your own house. But at the same time, the first thing that anybody says, and I agree with this, is how do I learn? How do I do a P90X? How do I do any of this stuff? And until I found CrossFit, I didn't have anything but weights to do. And weights isn't for everybody.
No, the weights and conventional strength training, bodybuilding is not for everybody. And finding people who are receptive to teaching can be very challenging. We addressed mm-hmm. that a few weeks ago when I had the fellow that has the blind yoga for beginners program. He went to class after class and the instructors didn't quite know what to do with him. And then he finally found somebody and he decided that's why he was going to create his program. And honestly, the insanities and P90X and most of these home video programs are total garbage because they don't offer any description. And I think some of them are too intense. You know, CrossFit, I think for some people is too intense. You were in pretty good shape when you walked in the door. You had a background of strength training. You obviously had the self-discipline one develops in strength training. My concern with things like CrossFit or the guy that buys the P90X program is I'm a beginner. Anything I do, you said this at the beginning, just by walking in the gym and moving around, you're doing more than you did. So everything
That's right.
will cause some improvement. When you're a total beginner, you don't need suicide workouts.
No.
And my concern that my experience, because I mean, I can read tons of stuff on the internet. There is thousands and thousands of posts out there of what's wrong with CrossFit and probably almost as many posts saying what's right with CrossFit. But what I've seen in my limited experience was a very brief ramp-up program and, okay, let's get into class. And I think that support thing that you were talking about where you've got these kids keeping you motivated can also be dangerous for a beginner because they're going to push themselves maybe further than they need to and further than they should. And it goes back to the coaches again. And you're fortunate that you've got some great coaches. Unfortunately, I've seen a lot of really bad coaches. So if you're going to do CrossFit, anyone that's listening, go to a couple places, talk to the coaches, get a feel for them. Get a feel for if it sounds like they really know what they're doing or they just went through the 1 or 2 day seminar and all of a sudden they're a quote unquote expert. Because that's the difference in this giving you great results and getting you hurt.
My coach has a saying, and I respect him for it, because I'm like any other male. I'm very competitive, not as much as some, but more than others. And, you know, my thing isn't so much about winning. It's just about competing. You know, I don't really care about winning too much. I just want to compete. I just want to be in the running, you know. So my thing is, well, Damien, how'd I do? And his thing is, dude, you're where you're at. You know,
I like that.
You're where you're at. And I said, well, how did everybody else do? He said, some better
Doesn't
than
matter.
You, some worse than you, and some right where you're at. He said, don't worry, you're where you're at. And that's the thing is that, you know, yes, they put P people's numbers up on the board. And I have been there, and I'll tell you, I've been the last guy in class, sweating my butt off, working a wad, and everybody else there has finished. And all the and the thing that I love the most is that feeling of just your team just getting, come on, Mikey, come on, bro, you could do this, come on. And just encouraging you no matter what. And I've heard some stories, girls who have lost hundreds of pounds, and it takes years, people. It doesn't take months. It doesn't take days. It doesn't take weeks. There's no such thing. We're in such an immediate satisfaction. Yes, you're gonna feel good. You're gonna also be tired. You're gonna do a lot of things, but you're not gonna start seeing results, these crazy results in a very, 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 very short amount of time. And you didn't get where you are overnight either. You know, you look at somebody who's 300 pounds, you know, 250 pounds, you know, if they're, no, I don't know, 150 pounds overweight, they didn't gain that weight in a month.
No, they didn't just wake up one morning and go, where'd I go?
Yeah. Or who's this extra person I'm carrying around? Exactly. You know, they got there through a process. And to get rid of that extra person is going to be a process. And it's a process of believing in the goal. It's not about diets. It's not about taking pills. It's not about a quick fix and then going back to your bad habits. You need to change your habits. You know, it's kind of like the person that's been in 50 different relationships and everybody in that relationship has been a jerk to them. Well, guess what the common denominator in that relationship is and in your relationships is? It's you. So if you keep making bad relationship choices, then you're going to have crappy relationships. Well, if you keep making bad life choices, bad diet choices, lack of exercise choices, well, then guess what you're going to get? You're going to get what you put into it.
We are all responsible for ourselves. It's like the guy that's quit smoking 10 times. It's easy. I can quit smoking. I've done it 5 or 6 times. I want to ask you a couple specific things because these are things that I have concerns with as part of CrossFit. How do you do box jumps? What are you using? A 20-inch, 24-inch high box? You can't see it. How are you doing a box jump?
That's a great question. Because I did, and I was telling you before, I did a video, and there'll be a link in the show notes. One day, my coach just asked me, he said, Mikey, do you mind if I just record you? And I'm like, yeah, sure, man. You know, and I was doing box jumps, and he put it up on the web. And at this point, as of this, it's been up since February something, and it's got 500,000 views, which is kind of crazy. I've never been seen by 500,000 people doing anything. But I think it's different for everybody. I put my hands at the edge of the box, I back off a little bit, and then I spring. You know, I just jump, and I'm kind of aware of my surroundings. But there's also, you don't have to jump. You're going to get just as much if you step on and step off. Step on, step off.
There you go.
You're going to get just as much out of it.
There you go. And I have to interrupt you because I'm happy to hear you say that. Because I have seen, observed, quote unquote, people doing jump up, jump down, jump up, jump down. And I think that's just freaking nuts. I'm sorry, sighted, not sighted. I see ankles getting destroyed. You want to jump up? That's great. Step back down. Jump up, step back down. And yes, doing step-ups on it is, if you're doing them at a good pace, that's going to be just as effective. It just, plyometric things like box jumps were not created to do as many as we can, as fast as we can. They were created to develop explosive jumping power in your legs and to try and do that. Jump up, jump down, jump up. All right, we're going to do 5 minutes of box jumps. I'm going to be laying on the ground. Either my face is going to be bruised from hitting the box or I'm going to break an ankle. So if you're doing
I've never seen that. I've seen 30 of them, 20 of them, 15 of them. Never. Oh, let's just see how many you can do in 5 minutes. That's crazy.
I was just pulling a number out of the air there. But even if it's, all right, we're going to do box jumps for a minute or do 20, the idea of doing it as a step up is much, much happier for my ankles.
Yeah. And it makes sense. I mean, if you're carrying around a couple hundred pounds, you're not, I mean, heck, even if you're carrying around 172 and 14.5% body fat, blah, 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 it gets to you. And my knees bug me every once in a while. I mean, it takes a little while. as important as doing the exercises is in your form is stretching. I cannot stress enough how important stretching is, how important mobility. Not mobility as a sense of the word that we are used to as blind people, which is getting around. But I mean mobility as in just flexibility. And they use balls to rub in different parts of your body. Cross balls and different various things that
foam
they
use.
Foam
roller kind of work, yeah.
Yes, the foam roller too, to loosen up your muscles. And that, again, we do that daily. They have a daily mobility class that always focuses on different things. I can't stress enough, the same as you did, you need to learn about your box. The box is the most important. That is your dojo. That is where you meet. And if you don't, you need to look at reviews, talk to people who have been there. And if the coaches at the box don't give you references to talk to, run. You know, if they're not certified, if they're not open to showing you their certification, if you can't check their certification with the CrossFit folks, because they don't just hand out certifications to anybody.
And beyond that, I would say, just go and hang and say, can I just hang and listen to a class? And if they have a problem with that, run.
Yes.
Because you're going to know by listening to these people, if they're just there ranting and raving and screaming, or if they really care about what they're doing. Little things like I was saying earlier about the deadlifts. If somebody's going, hey, Joe, arch your back more, stick your butt out more, stop rounding your shoulders. They can say that in 2 seconds while they're leading a class. And if you don't
abs
hear
tight.
Any of that,
abs
run.
Tight,
exactly.
Butt tight, you know, shoulders back, big chest,
exactly.
And all the time, dude, I hear that all the freaking time. And it's like, all right, shut up already, big chest.
No, those cues are good reminders, because when you're on repetition number 15 and you're going, oh God, okay, five more. And you hear somebody in the background go, big chest. You go, all right, pull the shoulders back, because you started to forget.
Yep.
And it's very important.
And if you can't see everybody around you doing that, because the other thing is people are vibing off of looking at each other. And I mean, it gets to a point where, you know, one of the comments on the video when I was doing the box jumps, and it's a very short video. I mean, it's, a, you know, 20 seconds or something, was they were like, look at the smile on his face. Look at the smile on his face. Shoot, dude, I had been.
It's a grimace.
It was like I was gone. I wasn't there anymore. I was an autopilot, because I was so in the zone. I was so just focused on my body as a machine that I wasn't thinking about form. So form has to become second nature to you. So don't.
It has to be instinctive.
Yes, it has to be muscle memory. It has to be instinctive. It has to be second nature, all of that. And if you're so don't ever be ready to do a gazillion of anything. You want to do one right. You want to do two right. And then you can do five right. And then you can do 10 right. And because when you start to really push yourself, you don't have the energy. You are using every bit of energy that you have to do what you are doing. You know, that's my experience, at least.
Well, that's true. You have to perfect what you're doing. If you can't do it right for five reps, or you can't do it right with 20 pounds, you're not going to do it right for 30 reps or with 100 pounds. You have to have the basics. When you said about them handing you a piece of PVC, yeah, you may feel silly doing deadlifts with a piece of PVC pipe, but you're going to learn that form. You're going to have that form ingrained into your soul. So when you're struggling with a heavy weight at some point, the form may be compromised a little bit, but your body is going to lock into that place where it's been hundreds of times.
If you're push pressing,
it's going to save your back.
If you're push pressing 250 pounds, you want to make damn sure that your form is great, because you've got 250 pounds above your head. And the key to a good push press is to get yourself under the bar. You know, so you
exactly.
are literally, your little arms are holding up 250 pounds above your head. If you don't have your form right, that's going to, it'll split your head in two. I mean, no joke there. So,
first of all, it's not going to get all the way up. And secondly, you're in a very dangerous place.
Yes, you are. And my coaches at least know this. I mean, I respect these guys so much, because the more, when I got in, I took it for granted. Oh, this is how it all is. And as I started to read, as I started to talk to professionals like yourself, Bill, and, you know, and I love what you, let me tell you, I would have loved to have worked with you when you were training on kettlebell swings, because I love kettlebell swings and it is so powerful. And you and I got to talk about that one day more extensively, because I really want to learn some technique about that.
That's not a problem. It's one of my favorite exercises.
Yeah. But for me, I mean, I learned what a great thing it is to have a good box. And don't, it's like a doctor, don't go to the first one you find. You know, find a box that makes sense. Find a place where you feel at home. You know, my box I've heard about much, much bigger boxes than the place I go to. But you know what? I wouldn't leave my little box for nothing. These guys are like family. These guys are in there 12, 13 hours a day. And when they're not training or teaching, they're teaching themselves. You know, they're learning. Well, they're constantly raising the bar.
I see you just hit on a very good point. And I've, you know, done some blog posts about selecting the right gym, and I've talked about it in previous podcasts. And even if we're talking about a conventional gym, a global gym, as the CrossFit people like to call them, mm-hmm. I still would tell you, go to the small gym. You're going to get more personalized attention. If you're in that huge box that's a converted supermarket, and they're just doing such a volume, they can't give you the kind of attention you need. And I'm not talking about for blind people here. I'm talking about for anyone walking in there cold. You need to learn these techniques. You need to learn these movements. You also need to learn to recognize the when you should quits. And a good coach mm-hmm. is going to teach you, all right, if you start feeling this, you know, it's the old joke, doctor, it hurts when I do this. So don't do that. I don't care if everyone else in the room is doing it. Stop.
Right.
And you need good coaches. And based on that, it's no different. If we're talking CrossFit, we're talking about swimming, we're talking about being in a conventional gym, or as Mike said, finding the right doctor. Because you get the wrong doctor, he just keeps writing prescriptions and, okay, my blood pressure is down, but I have these wonderful headaches, I'm seeing spots before my eyes, and I've got to use the little blue pill, which is also giving me a heart condition. So the key is taking your time.
You know, equipment is something we should talk about too, I think, because that plays a great role in your experience. It's kind of like the person that goes out and buys a crappy mattress. You know, you don't buy the cheapest mattress mm-hmm. that you can find, because you're going to use it every stinking day.
Absolutely.
You're going to, you know, I bought shin guards because when I'm doing deadlifts, when I'm doing anything where the bar is sitting in front of me, I have to know where the bar is. So the bar is continuously tapping me on the shins, and it's not hitting me
hard. And
those
aren't always gentle taps, are they?
not always, no. I've never hit myself with a box, you know, doing a box jump. But, and I didn't want to wear really, you could wear really high socks, you know, but I felt kind of awkward that way. So dorky. I got some shin guards, and I got some, and my shin guards, they're $55, man. But you know what? I'm going to use them every day. If there's one thing that when you get into CrossFit, you're going to find is equipment. It's equipment, equipment, equipment. Shoes. If you're going to lift, you need lifters. You know, if you're going to do, you know, if you're going to run, you're going to need running shoes. Yes, there are kind of multiple, one size does multiple things. But you're going to, at least in my experience, you're going to get better experience out of using different things. You can, you know, wrist support. If you spend a lot of time on the computer, you're probably, at least at the beginning, going to want to use wrist support, you know, wrist straps and various different types of wrist support. If you're doing lots of pull-ups, you may want to use, you know, some gloves or not, you know, because you get calluses real fast.
Funny thing about gloves, since you mentioned them, I have never been able to use them. When I had the gym, every time I'd get a new style of glove in inventory to sell, I'd pull a pair out, I'd use them for a week, and I'd end up handing them to somebody and say, here, Merry Christmas. Because I just, if I can't feel the bar, the only thing I ever could use, and it's only if I'm using a really heavily knurled bar, is a couple pieces of sponge. But gloves just never worked for me. And, I think they actually made my calluses worse. But what you're saying is true. You can't skimp on this stuff. CrossFit's not a cheap sport. You know, you're conventional gym may be $20 a month, where a CrossFit gym may be $100, $150 a month, but you're paying for the instructors, you're paying for the classes, as opposed to, okay, there's the equipment. So that's why it costs more. And if you're going to spend that money, spend the other $50 on some decent shoes or $100 on some decent shoes, because you need the ankle support. You need something that's going to last. You don't want your shoes falling apart in 6 months. So
no.
you can't be cheap with this stuff. You guys out there have no problem with spending a lot of money on little digital toys, electronic toys. Spend a little money on your equipment if you're going to get into any kind of a fitness program.
Amen, brother. That's a big thing. I mean, and it's like anything. You know, there are flavors of the month when it comes to certain CrossFit equipment, but there are some diehard standards. And, you know, there's always something new. There's always something interesting. You're going to want to talk to people. CrossFit is certainly not a loner sport. If you like group meetings, if you like working out with people, you know, being excited by community, and community is a big deal. You know, and yes, it's, you know, I want to touch on being a blind CrossFitter for a minute, because we're going to hit some social issues that you're going to be exposed to people that don't know you. They've never seen a blind person, and they're going to ask a lot of questions, and you need to be patient. You need to be open and not offended by the question that you may have answered to 500 other people 500 other times, because it's amazing to a sighted person to see you walking down the street with your dog or your cane, but it's crazy for a sighted person just to see another sighted person jumping on and off a box. And I myself have had to stop and say, okay, Calvo, stop it. You know, it's time for you to stop being such a smartass and really realize that these guys, what they do is they put your shoes on their feet, and they say, if I was in that position, I couldn't possibly imagine how I do that. So when you become that amazing blind person at your box, it's not because you're amazing, so don't believe the hype. It's because you've actually stepped out, believed in yourself, and what people are really saying is, you know, if I was in your position, I don't think I could do what you're doing. You know, but they're not saying it right. You know what I'm saying?
And they don't mean any harm. They really, truly don't. And it's kind of, I realize it gets old, but put yourself in the position of the pro athlete or the rock star or whatever who, you know, gets asked the same question. Or, you know, how do you think Eric Clapton feels when people scream, "Sing Layla"? It's like, dear God, I've sang it 27,000 times in my life.
Just once more.
Yeah, exactly. The reality is, it's kind of our responsibility to dispel some of the myths that people who don't know any better have about blind people. It really is. And, you know, they don't mean any harm. For the most part, they're just excited about it and they want to learn. And they're probably going to tell somebody about, wow, you know, I went to the gym today and I saw this blind guy doing this. I was really cool. And I talked to him and he was a really cool guy.
Yeah. And that's huge. I mean, the social interaction, it's going to take, we live, unfortunately, in a politically correct society where people are afraid, and we need to get rid of that, guys. If we're ever going to be understood as a community, if we're going to ever be understood as people and and accepted as individuals, then we need to bypass the political correctness. We need to bypass the, boy, that was a stupid question. You know what? The only stupid question in life, people, is the one you don't ask. And if you don't answer a stupid question, if you don't answer a question, then you're the one that's being stupid, because what you've just missed out on an opportunity to change somebody's life and to potentially give somebody a view of you and of an entire community of people that have value, that are contributors to society. And if you don't do your part, and I'm not saying you need to be an ambassador for blind people. That's not what I mean. I'm just saying that, you know what? I love talking to people from different cultures. And blindness, people, as much as you may not like it, is a culture. You know, it's a culture that spans the globe. I can meet a blind person from China or Japan or India or South America or whatever, and we all face the same challenges. So there's a commonality in our culture. But when we mix our culture of our ethnic culture, our regional culture, into our blindness culture, and we share it with people of that region or ethnicity, it changes their view because not everybody is forward thinking. And what you're doing is you're really helping people understand you, and you're making them connect with you as a person, not a blind person, but a person that happens to be blind. But before you connected with them and made yourself a person to them, you were a blind person. Now you're a person that's blind, and you did that.
See, people think very small and try and stay in their little communities. I have a problem with that, and I understand it's a safe ground and it's being with commonality, but I'm going to just really briefly tell a real short story. I am a massage therapist, as most everyone knows, and at one point, due to the recommendation of one of my clients, I advertised in a local gay publication. Never had any issues. Got a lot of business out of it, met a lot of really cool people. And one day somebody said something to me because I made mention of my wife. You're married? Yeah. You're not gay? No. Well, why do you advertise in a gay magazine? I said, because it's great business. Yeah. I've met a lot of really nice people, and there's more disposable income in gay groups, in the community, because you're not dealing with worrying about saving money for the college fund for the kids and so on and so forth. And this gentleman got very irate with me. And I said, it's just good business. So yes, support people in your community, whether it's the gay community, the black community, the blind community, but these are all sub-communities of one great, big, amazing world. And we need to share with each other, and we need to experience that whole big, amazing world. And anyone that just stays, I'm just going to stick to the blind community and stay away from those sighted people. You know what you're doing? You're hurting yourself, and you're limiting your life. And it's a sad, sad thing.
Yeah. I wanted to mention one other group, Bill, that I've been really, really excited about and blessed by and listening to their stuff. And that is the folks over at Blind Alive. I think that the work that they are doing is amazing. I love listening to their podcast. Lisa Salinger, who used to be a member of our team, is just an amazing person. And she has just brought such a wonderful attitude to that whole group. And not that they didn't have a great attitude before, but just they're lucky to have her. But that whole effort, if you get any opportunity, whether you want to do exercise or you want to just sit at home and, you know, sit on the couch and be a couch potato, do spread the word about Blind Alive. I love what they're doing. I think that it's an amazing thing. Do support those that are trying to bring this into our community. Exercise, good health, good eating. It's important. It's very important because you're going to live longer and you're going to be able to impact the world. You're going to be healthy to impact the world and make a difference in the world you live in your community.
Living longer is a good thing, but it's only good if you're living better.
Thank you. So, absolutely.
You know, and Mike, that seems like an awesome place to end this.
Well, thank you. I've really enjoyed our time together.
It's been great. And if anyone would like to talk to Mike, his contact information is going to be in the show notes. And if you'd like to shoot an email address right now, Mike?
Sure. You can contact me individually at mike@mikecalvo.com. You can visit mikecalvo.com, MikeCalvo. You can find me on Twitter at mikecalvo and look for the hashtag blind crossfitter on Twitter, and you'll find pretty much what's going on in the world of blind crossfit, hopefully.
Okay, so you've got all his contact information. If you want to talk to Mike about CrossFit or anything else that he's had to say, you know how to reach him. And this has been Bill with Real World Fitness. My guest today, as I said, has been Mike Calvo. And hope you guys tune in next week. Don't know who my guest is going to be yet next week, but I can promise you it's going to be a great show. Real World Fitness is a production of the Serotalk Podcast Network in cooperation with KosiabaFitness.com. All questions, comments, and feedback should be submitted to resources@serotalk.com. If you're listening on a mobile device, use your iBlink radio app to submit an iReport. Promotional consideration paid for by Audible.com.